going to look at it anyway. But before I get into this, I'm going to have John sing a song, because if you're not loving Jesus, you can't walk through this. You can't walk this out. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not in love, sometimes you do things when you love people, you sacrifice to do things for them, correct? And if you're not in love with that person, there's less likely a chance for you to sacrifice to do certain things for them. And sometimes what the Bible tells us to do requires a sacrifice. So have a John sing this song for us. John?
Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. So I'm falling in love with Jesus. Oh, I'm falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus, and there's no place I'd rather be. I'm still falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. And there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. No, there's no place I'd rather be. Hey, there's no place I'd rather be.
Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that we're about to dive into. I pray, God, that you communicate your word clearly through me. I pray, God, that the heart of the hearers, oh God, be willing to listen to what your word says to all of us. And so, God, we trust you with this time. God, we pray for those who are on this retreat, oh God, that they would be enjoying themselves, that you would get them back safely, I pray. So, God, we trust you this hour. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So it's good to see everyone today. It's a glorious day to be alive. Last week we finished up with chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And we're going to embark this morning on chapter 3. And chapter 3 starts out with what has historically been a difficult passage to accept. However, what we learned last week was we cannot distance ourselves from difficult verses and embrace only the ones that we like. And at the end of chapter 2, the Apostle Peter was providing instructions on how we should treat others, which included those who have rule over us. And let me say this, chapter 3 starts with a likewise. But before we go to 1 Peter chapter 3, there are two passages I want to go to build this up. And the first one is it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And when you have it, just say amen. All right, so here it goes here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, talking to us, therefore, the church, therefore, become imitators of God. The Amplified says, copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. I'll read it again, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, become. There's this transition period. There's work that has to be done to become an imitator of God, which means to copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Amen? Now, let's go now to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 verses 48 through 51. Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 51. And again, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And let me give you a little background on this. Jesus's parents, Mary and Joseph, had went for the Passover feast. They did the huge celebration. Now they're on their way back home. But when they got about maybe halfway home, they realized Jesus was not with them. Have you ever lost your kids in the crowd? Nowadays, more than 30 years ago, it's a scary thing, right, to lose your kids in a crowd. But even then, it was somewhat scary. And so they had lost him, they thought, in a crowd. And so Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 51. And verse 48 reads like this. When they saw him, they were overwhelmed. And his mother said to him, son, this is Mary speaking to Jesus, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been greatly distressed and anxiously looking for you. And he gave him this answer, and he said, why did you have to look for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he had said to them. In the verse 51, he went down to Nazareth with them. Listen to this. And was continually submissive and obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. He went to Nazareth with them and was continually submissive and obedient to them. Let me ask you a couple of questions, rhetorical questions. Who had greater knowledge, Jesus or Joseph and Mary? Of course, the answer is Jesus, right? Who had greater power, Jesus or Joseph and Mary? And of course, the answer is Jesus. But watch this. Jesus understood the order. Everyone say order. Jesus understood the order that the Father has set up. So he willingly submitted to the Father's order. Amen? All right, now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Are you ready for this? You ready? I don't think you're ready, but we'll get to it. Here we are. Or likewise, or in the same way, how does it read? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if, I heard it, and if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Let me read it from the Amplified. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. All right, out of respect for their responsibility entrusted to the husband and their accountability to God, and so partnering with them so that even if some do not obey the word of God, they may be won over to Christ by their godly lives or their wives. All right, you ready for it? Here we go. Remind yourselves what it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. All right, we're to be imitators of God. Amen? Okay. And so now if we're going to imitate God, we look and see how God responded, okay? And if we look at Jesus' life, when he was living with his mom and dad, and we've already figured out that Jesus had more knowledge, he had more power, right? He had more wisdom, all right? But he willingly submitted to his parents because that was the order that the Father had set up. Everyone say amen. Yes. Here we have Peter giving instructions to godly wives. He instructs godly wives to be in submission to their husbands. And again, we have to remind ourselves, Ephesians 5:1, to imitate God. We look at an example in Luke chapter 2, 49 through 51. Listen to this. This divine order has nothing to do with intelligence or talent or skill set. It has everything to do with the order that the Father has set up. I'll read it again. This divine order has nothing to do with talent or skill set, all right, or nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with God's divine order, how God has set it up. Just like we see many ball players making more money than many of their coaches, the coaches are still the ones who are called to be the lead. This is all about order and not value. Are you getting it? It's all about order and not value. If you get these two confused, you're going to get in trouble. When men get these confused, we get in trouble. When wives get these confused, we get in trouble. It's not about value. It's not about importance. Not about skill set. It's about God's divine order. And so we look to his example. Jesus was by far superior to his mom and dad, but he willingly submitted to his parents because that is God's divine order. Amen? Because the Lord has placed the man in the leadership position of the family does not mean he is more valuable or smarter. It just means this is how God has set this up. All right? It doesn't mean he's more valuable. Doesn't mean he's smarter. What this says is this is how God has set this up. And so we're going to follow God's pattern for the home. This type of submission on the wife's part is done out of willingness, not out of compulsion from the husband. I'm going to say it again. This type of submission on the wife's part is done out of willingness, not out of compulsion from the husband. So let me say this to my fellas. Don't go home today and quote this verse because you want her to do something. Well, you know what 1 Peter says right here. You submit to me. No, don't do that. don't. It's done out of willingness on the wife's part, not out of compulsion from the husband, all right? I am a strong proponent or advocate of premarital counseling because you need to work these things out before you say the I do's. You need to work out the order of the relationship before you get to the altar. You need to understand God's order before you say the I do's. Otherwise, we're going to have trouble. Everyone say amen. Now, that said before, the Apostle Peter is talking to saved wives who may have been married before they came to Christ. And now that they are saved, they needed instructions on the relationship with their unsaved husbands. One other point I want to make here is that the wife is to submit to her own husband, not to just any man who wants to throw his weight around. Male headship is God's order for the home and for the church, but not for society in general. I'll say it again. A male headship is God's order for the home and for the church, but not for society in general. This means, ladies, you ought to have opportunities to run companies, to be the boss of this, to be the boss of that, to oversee a department, all right? It's not saying you can't do or be in charge of this and the other. What this is saying here, in the home and in the church, this is God's order, okay? And so we don't want to take this out of context and try to use it to keep females down in every area of society. This is not what the apostle was saying. This is not what God is saying, all right? Amen? A wife's submission to her husband is a statement of her faith in God. I'll say this. I'm sure there are many opportunities, if you were to ask Sister Ola, when she willingly submitted to me, even though she had perhaps a better idea. You can ask her later. Don't ask her. Don't look at her now. Just ask her later. But a wife's submission to her husband is a statement of her faith in God. What she is saying through submission is this: I trust the Lord and his order in the home. So when a wife submits to her husband, what she's saying is, I trust the Lord and the order he has set up. I don't know, because you may be kind of shaky at times, but I'm trusting the Lord because this is what the Lord has set up. And again, if we go back to Jesus and his parents, there's no doubt he had more wisdom and understanding about life than they did. But he went home and he willingly submitted to their authority because that was God's divine order. And there are times you'll have to submit, and not so much submitting to another person, but submitting to God's order. I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again when we talk about the word submission. You've heard it countless times. Fellas, we need to make sure that we communicate the mission of the family to the wife so she can submit or get underneath and help us achieve the goal. I'll say it again. Fellas, we have to make sure that we clearly communicate what the mission is of the family so the wife can get underneath and help achieve the goal. Do you hear what I'm saying? Even just basic things as planning vacations. All right? Where are we going to go? Fellas, we need to lay it out. We're going to go here, then we're going to go here, then we're going to go here, and then we're going to go here. Lay out what the goal, what the plan is. Amen? All right? And so, because if we do not communicate the mission to the wife then will create the mission for the family. And I've seen it countless times where wives are creating the mission. No, it's the husband's job to create the mission. And so we have to clearly communicate what the mission is to the wife so that she can help us achieve it. The Bible in Genesis calls the wife this helper, this help me. I'm going to help you achieve what God has called you to do. I'm here to help you. I'm not against you. And so the wife is not a second-class citizen. She's there to help you achieve what God has called you to do. Well, that means this, guys. We need to hear from the Lord what the Lord wants us to do. And so if we're not praying and seeking God's face, we can't hear what God wants us to do. Therefore, we can't communicate to our wife what the mission is. And then we have families going in circles for 5, 10, 15 years, going nowhere. That's crazy. Let me read verse 1 again. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. What they're saying here, that you may be married to a man who is not saved. Okay? I've told you that before. My mother was married for 37 years before my father gave his life to Jesus. And I cannot recall one time where she got in his face and said, "Oh, you a devil, you need to get right before God." She didn't do all that. No, she didn't do that. The Apostle Peter's conveying to the wife that if your husband does not know Christ as Savior, the best way to lead him to Christ is not with sermons. Don't come home and say, "Here, listen to this tape." Don't do that. It is not with telling him that he needs to surrender to the Lord, but it's true. The best way to lead him to Christ is with your beautiful behavior towards him and others. This is what the Apostle Peter was saying, that the best way to lead, and that, in fact, that's to anyone. The best way to lead them to Christ is with your beautiful behavior, how you conduct yourselves. This phrase, "do not obey the word," is not merely one who does not believe, but this phrase gives the sense of one who is actively disobedient to the word of God. The Apostle Peter is saying he too can be won over by the wife's behavior. There's a lot of power that you wives have. You have a lot of power. Now in move on to verse 3. Verse 3. Give me verse 3. "Whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning of the plaiting the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel." The Amplified says this, "Your adornment must not be merely external." All right? Now, in verse 3, the adorning, the decorative, harmonious, and attractive part of your life should not be dominated by the outward adorning. There is more to you than just the outside appearance. The outside adornment must always be done in moderation as it compares to the inward adornment. You can be pretty with nice jewelry and a nice hairdo, but if you have a mean spirit, the outward adornment means nothing. You can be pretty, you have looking great, but if you have a mean spirit, your outward appearance means nothing. You're unattractive. And so what is attractive is your inner beauty, you, the real person. So the Apostle Peter is not saying don't have outer adornment. He's saying, listen, it shouldn't dominate you. It should not be the thing that draws attention to yourself. It should be that inward sense that you're a beautiful person. Amen? The Apostle Peter in verse 4 tells us, and I'll read it, "But let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit." He says, adorn yourself with the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This quiet spirit does not mean you don't speak up. It does mean, though, that there's no raging bull in your spirit. One of my daughters, she is hooked on these shows. They call them the Housewives of this city and the Housewives. You ever seen any of that before? Don't be ashamed. You didn't see it. Don't act like you ain't seen it. And so I in this show, on the outside, pretty. But on the inside, they're this raging bull. And what comes out of their mouth is this destructive words that try to tear down everything. There is a way to communicate what you're feeling without spewing it out like a raging bull. There is a way to communicate even your displeasure without it coming out like a raging bull. You can say almost anything, but say in the right way where people would be receptive to it. Amen? But you've seen people, men and women, they communicate the truth, but the way they communicate it, no one wants to receive it because how they communicate it. And what the Apostle Peter was saying here, that a quiet spirit, not that you're quiet, not that you don't speak up, but the way that you speak up, all right, comes from a quiet spirit, and so men and women will receive what you have to say. But when you say truth, but you say it with a foul spirit, people are going to reject it. They don't want to hear it because of the way that you communicate the message to them. And what the Apostle Peter was saying, listen, wives, don't be that way. I can't remember my mom nagging my dad that way. I can't remember that. She had a quiet spirit. All right, there was no raging bull in her. A woman, and before I'm done, we're going to talk to the men. A woman can trust in her own ability to influence and control her husband, or she can trust God and be submissive to God's order. A woman can trust her outward beauty and adornment, or she can trust God and cultivate a gentle and quiet spirit. It all comes back to trusting God. Do I trust God with this situation? And whether it's with a husband or a child or your friend, do I trust God with this situation? If so, I'm going to be submissive to God, because really that's what it's about. It's not so much being submissive to my husband. It's really submitting to God and God's order. This is God's order. And so let me talk to saved ladies who are not married yet. Be very careful who you choose to be with. Yes, this is a true statement. Every saved man is not for you. Just, well, he's saved. Okay, he ain't got no job. So you have to be careful, because when you yoke yourself up with them, then what's going to happen is you're going to have to fall in line with this. I don't know if you got that. When you yoke yourself up with him as a saved woman, you have to fall in line with this. And being married is great. It's fantastic. But there are some sacrifices that come with marriage. And so if we're going to walk in divine order and follow what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we better make sure that we're yoking up with the right person. And fellas, that go for you as well. Make sure you're yoked with the right person. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I wish all y'all be like me, unmarried. But, some of y'all want to marry, so go ahead. But you have to make sure you get the right person. It has to be the right person God has for you to go with your spirit. Because just because two people are saved doesn't mean their spirits are going to be really connected. You got that? A lot of counseling on the front end will prevent a lot of counseling on the back end. Getting things all worked out, understanding God's order. And if we're not ready to get in line with this, then don't get married. Because this is how God wants it to work. All right, verse 6. You ready for verse 6? I don't think you are. All right, verse 6. What does it say in the King James Version? Who likes this verse? Let's read it together, shall we? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I'll read it from the Amplified. Verse 6 says this: just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, following him and having regard for him as head of their house, calling him Lord, and you have become her daughters if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And so here's another tough verse here. Well, it says, all right, you're the daughters of Sarah, all right, and just has Sarah. And listen, we're not saying, the Bible's not saying you got to go home and call your husband Lord. What he's saying, he's not saying it, man. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is there is a submissive spirit that Sarah had to her husband, and she showed him respect. Because when God told him to move, he moved, and Sarah followed. All right? She showed him that respect. And so if you're going to be married, and you're going to be married, you're this godly relationship, you have to be willing to respect the order that God has set up. You ready, fellas? All right, here we go. We're gonna end with verse 7. Now, in verse 7. The Apostle Peter turns to the husbands. He tells the husbands, give me verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Let me stop right there and read from the Amplified. In the same way, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact. I wrote here, tells the husbands he must deal with his wife with understanding and knowledge, which requires the husband to be a student of the wife. A student of the wife takes time. It means this: I've got to study her. I got to know what she likes, what she doesn't like. I got to know what she wants to eat even before she even makes the request. I've got to study her. All right, I've got to treat her well, okay? The Apostle Paul says for husbands to love their wives and treat them like they would their own bodies. And so likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Understand who your wife is. Understand what she likes, what she doesn't like. Maybe she's not a morning person. If you're not a morning person, it's stupid to ask her to get up and fix some breakfast. Amen? She's not a morning person. So don't ask her to get up and fix dinner. But don't ask for breakfast. You already know she ain't a morning person. And these things, you should know this because you went through counseling, hopefully. And you should know all of this, but you know, maybe you don't. It takes time. You have to understand who she is, and maybe she don't like doing this. My wife doesn't like going to the movies like I do, and so I'll just go myself. I know she's not going. There are certain things that she want to do that maybe I don't want to do, but because I'm going to sacrifice myself for her, I will do. But I know her. I know what she like. I know her facial expressions, what she's saying. She hasn't said a word, but I know. I can tell. I can tell when I call home during the middle of the day before I go home how she answers the phone, whether it's going to be a great day when I get home or not going to be a great day, just how she answers the phone. I know her. Right, I've studied her. I've seen her. When she walks around the house, I can tell how it's going to be. Will I come home, fix my own dinner, and be good? Or I understand. You got to know your wife. And the Apostle Peter was saying, listen, you have to deal with her with understanding. You got to know her. That takes time. It takes effort and energy. When you were dating. You remember way back then when you were dating? How many can remember back then if you remember when you were dating? We spend hours on the phone. Am I the only one? And I tell you this before, you know, hours on the phone, late night calls, and I don't know, we were just stupid, and you know, you sleep? No, I ain't sleep. You sleep? No, I ain't sleep. And they, you know, I'm, you sleep? No, I ain't sleep. I ain't sleep. We were trying to get to know each other, right? And so the Apostle Peter was saying, listen, you have to deal with your wife with understanding, all right? Giving honor unto the wife. This word we looked at last week, that word honor, okay? Giving honor, respect to, all right? It didn't say that when she deserves it or when she's earned it, it's something that we give no matter what, okay? The honor and respect goes to the wife no matter how well or how bad things are going in that particular season of your marriage or your relationship, all right? It says give her honor. What does honor look like? It means doing great things for her. I'm going to give her honor. And that really may go against your flesh, but you have to crucify that flesh. So giving honor unto the wife, and the next phrase here, as unto the weaker vessel. This weakness is not talking about mental capacity, not talking about character traits. It's actually really talking about the physical part of a woman compared to a man. I've said this on many occasions in premarital counseling when we're talking about relationships and marriage relationships. It's not equality. It's fairness. It's not equality, it's fairness. And here's the example, okay? Here's the example. You're driving down a road, and you hit a flat, and you got two flats, all right? Equality is the wife changes one, and I change one. That's equality, right? It ain't fair, right? Now, how would it look if you drive down the road, and I'm in the car, and you see Sister Ola changing the flat? Huh? There was something wrong, right? Something wrong, right? Even though that's equality, because I'll change the next one, all right? But you change this one. That's equality, but not fairness, all right? And we have to understand that God has designed her differently than men. And so you understand that physically she's different, and so you can't put certain things on your wife that you would put on yourself. You can't make her carry all the grocery bags. I'm talking about just regular stuff. Amen? You get up and go into the house and she's lugging the grocery bag. That ain't right. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Remember, it's not talking about mental capacity. It's not talking about character traits. It's talking about the physical part of a woman is much different than a man. And so in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, men are structurally, physically stronger than women. You have to understand that, and so you can't put that requirement on her as you would put on another man. Amen? Right, right. And so if he got you, if y'all dating, and he want you to carry most of the stuff, you know, like half, you take half, I take half. No, don't date him. Find somebody else. Don't do that. Allow him, and why, and ladies, allow them to do that. Allow them to carry that weight. Amen? Allow him to do that, to, you know, change that tire or carry those groceries in or whatever. Allow him to do that. He's the man. Man, I tell you what, it really burns me up when I see these young men not carrying their own weight. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's another subject. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, husbands and wives, you are joint heirs, and he's talking to saved husbands now and saved wives. You are joint heirs of the grace of life. And so it's not like we are in competition against each other. We're doing it for this common goal. And when the husband understands his place and he understands the wife's place and they're working together, they make beautiful music together. But when he doesn't understand his place and doesn't fully appreciate her place, there's friction and turmoil all through the marriage. And what the Apostle Peter said, listen, we can put a stop to that if you understand what your place is, how God has set things up, and I'm going to do it God's way, and I'm going to trust God with the results. It's all about trusting God. Now, this last part of verse 7 says this, that your prayers, talking to the fellows, that your prayers be not hindered. Meaning this, we have to, and I've had to watch myself on many occasions and how I've treated Sister Ola, because I understand this last phrase of this verse here. We have to treat our wives with care and respect, because if we don't, our prayers will be hindered. What we come before God with, those prayers will be hindered, because God's going to look at how you treated your wife. And if you're not treating her right, God says, no, get it right first. Then come talk to me. Amen? All right. And so we have to make sure that we do things God's way, okay, so that our prayers are not hindered. We have to do it God's way, understanding the order of things. So it's not like I'm treating her as a second-class citizen because God has put me in this position. That's his order. It's not about value. It's about order, all right? We're both equal in God's eyes. God is just saying, this is the order I want things to run. Okay, get in the right order and we'll see success in our marriages. Get out of order and then we'll see destruction in our marriages. And I want you to know, communities, churches are built upon strong marriages. And when the marriages go well, the families, the communities, and the churches go well. And so that's why there's such an onslaught attack on the family unit today, because the devil understands, if I can destroy the family, I'll destroy the church, or please be a hindrance there, and I'll destroy the communities. And so as husbands and wives, to make sure that we keep our families tight and together, because that is the goal of the enemy, to get in there and destroy your family. And so we have to fight for it. And that means I need to get in God's order. Whatever God's order is, let me get in it. And so if God says, do it this way, okay, I'm going to do it this way. This is a difficult thing to do without being submissive to the Lord first. And everyone, let's stand to our feet, and we're getting ready to pray. It is a difficult thing to do without submitting to the Lord first. Being submissive. People have always struggled with this phrase here, but I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said, for husbands to love your wives, which is a greater responsibility than even this submissive. Because when you love that person, you'll do whatever it takes for that person to achieve their goal, for their life to be well, because you love them. Our example is the Lord Jesus, who sacrificed his life for us. And the Apostle Paul tells us, likewise, you husbands, you're to love your wives just like Christ loved the church, who gave himself for us. And so, fellas, we're called to give ourselves for our wives as an example also to our children, because daughters should see that in their dads, and sons should see that in their dads. How does dad treat mom? Is he hollering at her and bickering at her, or does he honor her and respect her? Children are watching. Young boys are watching. Listen, dad, husband, your kids are watching you and how you treat your wife and their mom. And to you to treat it with respect and honor and love, for this is God's order, and you are called to protect her as well. But none of this can be done if we don't submit to the Lord. Every eye closed for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed. And just right where you're at, just search out your own heart, your own situation. Am I in God's order? Am I out of order? Am I in God's order? Am I out of order? And if you find yourself out of order, today, you can get in order. You can get in divine order. Whether you're a male or a female, you can get into divine order. Simply just a submission of your will to God's will. No longer fighting against what God's word clearly states, just getting in God's divine order. Sing a verse of that song, John.
I surrender all. Lord, I surrender the blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing one more time, John.
I surrender all.
Your life, your marriage, everything.
I surrender the all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
If you found yourself somewhat out of order and say, yeah, I heard what you said. I heard what you said. I want you to meet me here at this altar. If you found yourself, you were kind of, whether you're a husband or a wife, but you're kind of out of order, just meet me at this altar, and we're going to pray before we close out this service today. Just come. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Sing it again, John. Sing it again. Sing it again.
I surrender.
Hallelujah.
Surrender all.
First, let me say this, fellas, with courage, because what we're saying is, I want to be everything that God wants me to be. As a husband, as a man, as a dad. And when you make this step, what you're telling the devil is, you're not going to, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to be different. And so I want you to stretch your hands towards these fellas, and we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for each one. Yeah, each one. From Mark, Foster, Sean. God, you spoke to their heart today. Not me, you spoke to their heart. And God, right now, you are molding, yes, and you are shaping, and you are carving out something great in these men. Yes, yeah, God. God, they have stepped up and saying they want to be better at what you've called them to do. Now, God, I don't know what it looks like, but you do. I pray, God, that you would give each one the grace and the strength to be the man of God, yes, the man of God you've called them to be in their home. I call for every child, every wife to look at these men and say, there's a man of God. I pray that their friends and coworkers will look at them and they will say, there's a man of God. And God, you would live your life in them and through them in such a way, oh God, that when they go down the street, oh God, people don't even know them, but they see something different about these men and their character and what they say and how they say it, oh God. And so God, I pray that you would bless these men, oh God, with your presence, oh God. Because today, God, they've said they're surrendering themselves to you completely. They're willing to be molded into the man you've designed them, not just them, but us, to be, oh God. The leaders of our homes, God. The leaders in our community, God. Bless these men, I pray. Yeah, I don't think your wife is not here, but Ray, come up here. Carolyn, come up here and put your arm around you. Put your hand on your husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for these family units that are represented here. God, you're doing a very special work in them. Never will they be the same. You're doing a new thing in them, God. Fresh fire in their life, oh God. A fresh hunger and a desire to be everything you want them to be, oh God. And so, God, I trust you with these three men and their families. And I give you glory, and I give you praise, and I give you honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Put your hands together for the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Cole, give us a closing prayer. God will do something great. He is doing something great in your life. He is doing something great in your life. He is. He is. He's shaping you and working you. And, man, he's turning things around in your life. And you guys were already leaders. Be even better leaders. Already great husbands, even better husbands. You're already great dads, gonna be even better dads because you're willing to say, God, I need your help. I need more of what you have for me. Hallelujah. Come on, Cole, give us a closing prayer. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the words Pastor said, Lord. Thank you in advance for our surrender, Lord, and the drastic changes that you're going to make in our lives, Lord. I pray that we get to our destination safely, Lord, and you keep us whole till we meet again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.